The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Believe You Me podcast. You will notice that unlike last week when I had to hold down the fort by myself, in fact, not by myself, I shouldn't say that. I had Brian. Wow. Brian never misses a show. Brian's always here, okay? We had a couple of people off playing, fighting, whatever they were. They're thinking they're tough guys. They've seen too many martial art movies, okay? They've been watching Rocky. They went off there on a fight, you know what I mean? But they're back. They're back. Lewis Harrington, thank you for joining the show. I'm sorry to inconvenience you.
Well, first of all, we tried. We tried, okay? But here's the thing about Lake Havasu. It sucks, okay? It sucks. The whole town sucks. I'll tell you right now. You hear about, like, spring break. Like, you think it's going to be all, like, hot college chicks, like, partying on boats and, you know, in bikinis. Nuh-uh. None of that.
It's November 16th, bro. I'll be honest. Everybody tells me, oh, bro, you got to go Lake Havasu, man. And I have wanted to go to Lake Havasu, right? But you're saying it sucks.
Lake, have a break from it. That's what I say. Don't go. Not good. It's not good. It was all old people. It was karaoke we went to one night.
Ugh. Did you sing?
No. Harrington wanted to. I wouldn't let him.
Don't let him. Do not let him. Yeah, but so you came to Big Bear with me, and I'll be honest, that trip that we had in Big Bear, that, like, I'm willing to give Big Bear another try because we had a good trip, but I've been in the past, and I'll be honest, I went in winter. In the past. And I was like, this sucks.
Probably similar.
I think the key is when it's summer and the sun's shining, everything is better. And certainly if you're on a lake, I kind of feel that everything revolves around the lake and the sunny weather and the drinking and the partying. And maybe if you're looking for college underage girls and you're a sexual predator. Yeah. Maybe if you're that type of guy.
College is overage. So Bisping, stop trying to put me in a fucking box. Stop trying college to bully me.
England is 16.
Well, this is not England. We're in America, okay?
Sorry, I'm English. I forget sometimes.
Listen, okay? It kind of reminded me of Big Bear because here's the thing. It's like, because it's like a lake town, it's like, it's not like fancy. You're just kind of like, you're just dealing with like there's no like real fancy restaurants. Remember the restaurant I went to was like sort of like just like a little like spot, the one spot we went to. And then like,
it was just like a little spot. Good description. You're talking about the barbecue place we went on the first night. I thought it was great. I thought it was wholesome. I thought it was nice. Not family fancy. Ran. Good ingredients made at home. Excellent. You know, all the sauces were homemade.
It was like
the
plastic knives.
Second to none. That girl, she could not have given us more attention if her life depended on it. But sure, you talk shit about old family run Jiffy John's barbecue, Big Bear. It's going to go out of business now. Well done, Lewis. I don't know. Jiffy John's.
But yeah, it was sort of like this like small town vibe, and because there was nothing, you know, it wasn't a party time, it was sort of boring, but the actual event itself was fun. You didn't watch Harrington compete?
Well, I do apologize, I was commentating the UFC, you know, where real fighters compete. I do apologize, and I get paid handsomely, and I love my job, and it's very prestigious. But I did contemplate calling Dana and saying, Dana, sorry, bro. I know Rafael Dos Anjos is taking on Paul Felder at short notice. I know we've got Chaos Williams potentially going to deliver one of the sickest knockouts you're ever going to see. But I'm saying no. I'm saying no because I'm going to watch Harrington. Oh, whoa, bro, said Dana. Mike Harrington? That dude's a badass. No, he never said that, and I didn't have that conversation. Sorry, Lewis, no. Better places to be.
You can support your friend. You could have watched it on YouTube afterwards, Sunday, on the airplane.
Maybe he could have supported me. Maybe he could have said, I'm not going to fight tonight. I'm going to watch Mike commentating.
That is true.
Devil's advocate.
Hey, devil's avocado.
You know, which way you want to slice it. But listen, okay. Right. So you guys went to Lake Havasu. I haven't seen any of it. I don't know what happened. Of course, Harrington went there to beat up what essentially looks like an old man, right? Now, I didn't want to say this before, but he looks like an old man. How old was this person?
What is he? 48 years old, right? Yeah, 48.
46. Same age as George Foreman was when he won the heavyweight title, just saying.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah, but he looks older. But still, you're right, 46 isn't that much older. You know, 5 years older than me. Okay, all right, let's get to it. I'll be quiet because I wasn't there. I'll turn it. Look at Harrington already. Look at him, brimming with excitement. He's shaved his beard. He's looking slimmer. You look weird, Harrington. I want you to be fat again with a beard and a bandana on your head. I don't like this new person. Who do you think you're? You think you're better than me, Harrington? You think you're better than me?
Ooh, Bisping, can you, how about this? How about we pretend, because Harrington did not get a post-fight
interview.
So why don't you give him a post-fight interview and have him walk you through some of these moments in the fight?
All right, okay. All right, I haven't seen anything, and I'm sure the viewers and the listeners are dying to hear. So we'll have to give some commentary. So, Brian, don't put the sound on the video. Me and Lewis will commentate, and then I'll do a post-fight interview, because I am genuinely curious, A, to see if this man had any kind of fighting ability whatsoever, and if he doesn't, how much of a cunt was Harrington in terms of beating up this poor individual? That just this guy went there for a bit of fun in good spirits. Harrington took it all serious and beat up essentially what is a retired man.
I was in Harrington's corner, and I'll tell you right now, the look of, I mean, it looked like a man possessed. Like, you would have thought that this was like a fight for his life. This is for the title. Like, he was, dude, he was so serious. It is wild.
Listen. Okay. This just occurred to me right now. I've got to do this. Hold on. Let me just bring up the Instagram messages, because I messaged Harrington before because I knew you guys were there. And I thought if I don't at least send a message of support, I'm an asshole. You know what I mean? Seeing as I have spent a large portion of my life as a professional fighter, I thought, if I don't at least, you know, if I don't even at least just say good luck, if I don't acknowledge the fact that he's fighting, I'm a prick. You know what I mean?
Right.
I thought I can do one better than that. But even though I died inside doing this because it's such a farce, it's a mockery to mixed martial arts, Lewis. But anyway, oh no, because he said to me, because I put on a video, I got a free Xbox last week. Thank you, Microsoft. Even though I'm a PlayStation guy. But thank you, Microsoft, because I might be converted, though. I'm serious. I think I'm converted because it's fucking amazing. And he says, how's ITV? And ITV is a channel in England. I went, ITV? He goes, it. I said, oh, no, I won't say this. Seems like an amazing system. It's a great system. Only got the new Assassin's Creed game, though. There's like 100 other games, though, which came with a subscription. But as I say, it's absolutely incredible. And then I said, good luck. How are you feeling tomorrow, brother? How are you feeling? And then I said, go out there and have some fun. You'll be looser and you won't get injured. Everything hurts more when you're stressed out and concerned. Stay loose. And he goes, I feel like I put in the hard work already. I'm not afraid of this guy. I mean, all I've been thinking about while hitting pads is breathe, stay loose. I just kept thinking for the past few weeks to show up on weight and ready to fight. So in my mind, my job is done. And this is the best bit. This is the kicker, Lewis. This is the kicker. Get ready. He says, all I can do is trust what Mickey, Diego, and Lewis have taught me. And that's when he lost me. I thought, don't fucking, I'm here. Former world champion. And he's like, all I'm going to do is trust what Lewis has told me. I'm like, all right, fuck it. You're dead to me.
We've been training for 6 weeks. You said have fun. Stay loose. Come on.
I'm just going to trust what Lewis has told me. Gee, right. Hold on. Harrington, you can talk in a second. Last question, then I'll let you talk before we watch the fight, because I do want to hear from you before we watch it. You're Mike Harrington. Are you your own person?
Yes, sir.
What's this Team Rattlesnake bullshit? I mean, Is Lewis in there? Is Lewis dying for you? I mean, Why aren't you going out there representing Mike Harrington from the fucking hard streets of Jersey or wherever you're from? I used to be 300 pounds, but now I'm 295. I've lost 5 pounds. I used to be homeless, but now I sleep in a cardboard box. You know what I mean? I used to be stupid, but I've read 2 books and now I'm just an imbecile. You know what I mean? You are improving yourself. I'm joking, by the way, and I know you are, but just for everyone else listening, I'm joking, but go on. Tell us about the weekend, Harrington, from your perspective.
Well, I mean, the way I see it, you know, Lewis was literally in my corner. So, you know, it would be disrespectful to be team anything else.
And I pay for all of his training and his food and the entire flight, hotel, car rental.
Yeah, this was...
Well, when you put it like that, fair enough. No, but go on. From your perspective, Harrington, talk us through the weekend.
Mike, like I said, I legitimately trained with, you know, Mickey Gall, who is a UFC fighter. He taught me how to throw a right cross. Like, that's fucking awesome, right? From not being able to throw a punch to being like, you know, to actively being able to defend myself. Like, it made it 100% worth it. And I was being serious. You know, I was very calm all weekend. I never let the nerves get to me. I was just, you know, I was having fun. I was super loose because I do feel like I trained my ass off for it.
No. And listen, of course, I'm joking. And that's what we do in this podcast. That's great. You know what I mean? And to anybody out there listening, it just goes to show. I haven't seen the fight yet, by the way, so I may retract everything I'm about to say. But you can go out there. You're never too old to learn new skills. You know what I mean? And as you said, you couldn't even throw a punch. And now you went out there, you're fighting, you're competing in front of people. It doesn't matter whether it was on Lake Havasu in front of I don't know how many people were there, or in an arena or in front of nobody. The fact when you're competing against one-on-one, it is still a nerve-wracking situation. So congratulations, all jokes aside, well done.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
It's all right. Okay.
It did mean the world to me that you reached out, honestly. It 100% did.
No, now you're saying it. Not in private, just for the podcast. Brian, let's take a look at this little shindig. Let's take a look. Hold on, Harrington's on the right. Okay, so you're on floating. Yeah, this is like something from like some kind of science fiction movie. Looks like the set of Star Wars, The Mandalorian.
Yeah, it was floating platforms.
Hold on, so who's who?
So Harrington's in the Team Rattlesnake shorts, the yellow and black shorts, Harrington.
Oh, okay. All right, so that's Harrington on the left right now in the multicolored shorts.
Yeah.
He's down. Harrington, you hit a downed opponent. That's 1 point gone. Hey, you hit a downed opponent.
I kept swinging until the ref got involved.
Is it boxing? Or is it a street fight?
Boxing.
You hit a downed opponent, and he's an elderly man. Look at these bitches on the fucking boat, just like cruising by. The sun is out, though. Sun's out, guns out, tops are off. You look good, Harrington. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. He's game, though. He's got a good jab. Ooh, he stuck you there, buddy.
Yeah, he kept on sticking that jab. Harrington's nose was bleeding.
Oh! Ooh. Right hand puts him down. No follow-up shot from Harrington there.
Thank God.
Harrington's gassed. You're gassed, aren't you, Harrington? Be honest.
I mean, not yet. I get way
at one point between the second.
What's the ref round doing? Like, it's fucking like Floyd Mayweather versus bloody... He's like feeling the gloves like it's a real thing. Hold on. He's got a good jab, that guy. Nice combo, Harrington.
Thank you. That's all Lewis kept screaming is throw that combo and.
Oh, down again. Bro, you should
have. At that point, I walked to the ref and said, save your boy. Save him.
You should have pushed him off the floating thing.
No, he would have gotten disqualified.
You should have knocked him off the floating thing.
He would try to knock his head off.
He did try.
Yeah. End of the first round?
Yeah. Harrington, between the second and third, he looked at me and he looked like he was going to puke. He just started dry heaving because he was so gassed.
It's very tiring. It's very, very tiring. Well, that's good. Did you feel amazing afterwards?
Oh yeah, it was absolutely incredible. I mean, Lewis is about to, you know, fight Jason Ellis, so to be able to go to Ellis's event and show him, hey, this is where we're training. That, like, you know, like the guy who I was fighting is training at Ellis's gym. The same guy who.
Bisping, can I say something?
Say it.
He's making me realize how cringy I am. Like, from this perspective, I'm going like, oh, I get why Bisping cringes and rolls his eyes every time I bring up my phone.
No, that's not what I'm cringing at. I'm cringing at the level of sycophantism, if that's even a word, because it's like, he's out there. You're laying it all on the line. You're fighting for your life, Lewis. Harrington, for your family. And even then, you relay it back to Lewis and how much Lewis has taught you and how much... Take some credit for yourself, Harrington.
Brian, can you show him how brave I was? Because Bisping, you talk all this shit about fighting with one eye. I joined a blindfold. You fight one man with one eye. I did a blindfolded cowbell fight with a cowbell around my neck, blindfolds with four men.
Okay, listen.
Four men.
That sounds like a dangerous scenario. And when I see it, I'll give you props. But until I see it, I don't believe it. So let me take a look.
Take a look, Brian.
Then I might conceive, I believe, and then I will achieve.
It's two fights before Harrington's.
All right, let's take a look at this then. Just set it up one more time, Lewis. What did you do?
So I did a blindfolded cowbell boxing match with Jason Ellis and then two other gentlemen. And they were pretty big guys, actually. And I'll tell you right now, the morning of it, I started getting a little bit nervous because you got to think, like, they say it's the shots you don't see, you know? So people are just wailing shots in. I'm going like, I could get fucking killed here. This is the dumbest thing I've ever been involved in my entire life. But it was actually really, here, look.
Whoa. You never said that everybody was blindfolded.
Yes, everyone's blindfolded.
I thought you were the blindfolded one and they could see.
Well, that's psychotic, Bisping. That would be the dumbest thing.
That's what I did. That's what I did. Look at, oh my God, look at the fat boy. He's going to walk off and the ref stops him.
Look at this.
There's Ellis. Is that Ellis with the red head gear?
Yeah, he's with the red head gear.
Where's you? Oh, that's you in the black. Oh, you're about to come face to face. You're about to clash. Yeah. Oh, no, you walked right past each other.
Look. No.
Oh, there he goes. Yeah.
I fell in.
Oh, my God. It looks like a laugh, though.
It was a laugh. And I got to be honest with you. Like, dude, it's stupid. But Ellis, he does put on a good show. He's just trying to have a good time. And I really did have a good time. So we're going to eventually do that. But shout out to Jason Ellis' show and the whole crew over there because they were really professional and they did something pretty unique. Dude, doing the fights on the platforms like that was just a lot of fun and it added a whole other element of silliness to it. So not everything's got to be so serious, you know?
No, not at all. Like when you fought there, what was it, 2 years ago now? Wow, it's crazy. Yeah, that was awesome. Like Rebecca sat in the crowd and she had a whale of a time. You know, it's just dumb, it's silly. It's just about having a good time. So no, good for you guys. Well done. I'm glad you had a good weekend and congratulations once more, Harrington. All right, let's take a quick minute to thank our newest sponsor, Manta Sleep. When you're a high-level athlete, you know having quality sleep is the foundation for everything good that happens in life. And well, absolutely don't I know true. It? What?
Don't I know it?
Well, you listen, you and Harrington are high-flying, high-level athletes these days. But still, we don't want to know about that. But generally, if you need the 8 hours. It's very, very important. Driven by the belief that Manta is on a mission to give light sleepers control and mastery over their sleep. I need to give this one to Rebecca because she's always bitching about the amount of sleep that she has. But saying that, Alfie does have her up 3 times a night, shitting. Still, moving on. With Manta Sleep, you can maximize the enjoyment of your life and you can unlock your full potential. The masks are 100% blackout for deeper sleep. Listen, a lot of masks, you know what I mean? They might be 85, they might be 90. I've put them on. I just flew over here, business class. They had a fucking a mask, light mask, whatever, a face sleep mask. The light creeps in through the sides, okay? Yeah. And I've only got one eye. And
yeah, Bisping can see the light. I mean, you know it's a problem.
Yeah, exactly. I was not getting to sleep. I was like, take this goddamn thing off me. Listen, and here's the thing. They're made of soft, durable materials, and they are breathable, so you'll never worry about it stretching out or falling off. And in addition to the sleep mask, I've been using both the cooling and the warming mask. After my training sessions, I keep my cooling mask in the freezer, and after my workouts, I pop it on for a couple of minutes. It really helps rejuvenate my eyes, because I love my eyes, and my sinus. Listen to this. Clear as a whistle. Following taking shots to my face, and talking about taking shots, Harrington and Lewis, you guys were taking shots at the weekend.
Yeah, we were taking a lot of shots. And I'll tell you right now, that's the other thing is if you're a drinker, if you smoke, I'll tell you, get those bags under your eyes. Have you been mentioning how beautiful my eyes have looked lately, Bisping? Not only have I been facial moisturizing and having more of a routine and just treating myself better, but I will thank the Manta Face what?
I have never once said your eyes look beautiful. Never once have I said your eyes look beautiful. I've said you look more rested. Never said you look beautiful, but continue.
Well, I don't just look more rested. I am more rested, and that is thanks to the Manta Sleep Mask. I'm telling you right now, the warm mask provides relief with 100% natural steam. You'll feel more relaxed and comfortable in under 5 minutes. Go to the website mantasleep.com. That's M-A-N-T-A, sleep, S-L-E-E-P. If you don't know how to spell sleep, you got a problem. .com and check out their full line of sleep accessories. Not only do they have the sleep masks, but they have incredible body pillows, weighted blankets, which I love, and I know you do too as well, Bisping, sleep machines, and everything that a light sleeper could possibly need. This is a perfect gift for that person in your life that is a light sleeper. Once again, that is mantasleep.com. Use the promo code BELIEVE10. You're going to save 10% off your entire order. This is the perfect holiday gift. Manta, sleep better. Anywhere, anytime.
Now, if you don't mind, we're going to move on. Maybe we'll get into some real fights and stuff. So that's what you did at the weekend. I flew to England. I'm in London right now, as you notice. I'm not in the half mansion, as you call it. I'm in a beautiful hotel room. Problem is, it's a huge like apartment. Over that side, there's no Wi-Fi. This in the bedroom, there is Wi-Fi, so that's good. I'm here shooting a movie, so I'm going to be here for the next 3 weeks. So get used to this background. Did the fight Saturday night, straight to the airport, flew via JFK. That was a pain in the ass. Did the red eye, then a 2-hour layover, and then a flight from London to Heathrow. Nobody on the plane. How was your plane coming down here, Lewis?
Literally nobody on the plane?
Well, it was a massive jumbo jet, like a Boeing 747. Mm-hmm. And there was like 30 people on the entire flight. Wow. In first class, there was like 6 people.
Yeah, people seem to be shutting down the air travel again or just being a little bit more conscious of it, which is probably good overall. But yeah, our flight wasn't packed, but it was, I'd say right now, coming back, it was, I've never come down and like more, and you fly a lot too, and I fly a lot. I fly at least a couple times a month. I've never come down so violently and fast. We were just, I swear to God, I was like, we're going to fucking die. Cause it just started going like as fast as I've ever come down. And it was just hitting bumps in a storm as we were coming in. And I was legit, like, I've never been scared in a flight before. And I was freaking the fuck out. There was girls crying. Like, wow. I saw some of the flight attendants. They looked a little worried. I was like, oh fuck.
Yeah, no, it is scary. Cause I've like, no, I don't know if I've been in that kind of scenario, but I've definitely been on flights where the turbulence gets a little concerning, because I'm not really a guy that wears seatbelts all the time. In fact, a lot of the times, if they don't ask me to put the seatbelt on, I don't put it on.
Dan, I'll put my hands on my lap.
Yeah, no, you know, I put like something on there because I'm like, I'm not against putting it on, but I know that if we're going to die, that fucking little piece of fabric around my waist is not going to save me.
Well, okay? Do you know what can happen?
Pardon?
Do you know why they say to put the seatbelt on?
Because it drops.
Yeah, so people,
I know. I've seen the Key and Peele skit. You seen that?
No, but they're great, aren't they great?
Oh, Key and Peele are fucking awesome. No, there's a Key and Peele skit. You should check it out. Just Google Key and Peele seatbelt. It'll come up, and basically one of them plays the flight attendant, and one of them's like a businessman in his seat, and he's getting up because he needs to pee. And they're like, no, sir, turbulence. And he's like, I need to pee. And then they go back and forth, but he won't put his seatbelt on. Then he keeps hitting the ceiling. Yeah. And stuff. Anyway, it's funny. Whatever. Fuck it. Check it out. But a few times. But you know you're going to be okay. Even though you get turbulent, you're in the air. You're in the air. Nothing's going to happen. It might go for a bit, but it's going to settle down. It's going to level out. You're going to be all good.
I mean, planes crash. There is a plane.
Not very often.
I know, but it does happen. So it's like, the problem is, I don't know. Like, it's just all it is like, you know, it feels like the engine falls off or you know, I have no idea. I'm not afraid, but that was a particularly scary flight. But anyway, sorry. So you flew to England.
Have you not seen Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah.
Typically, you're more likely to get killed on the way to the airport than you are on the plane.
That is true.
You know, in fact, talking of which, I just looked it up. I retweeted something today, which is very sad, from the World Health Organization. Very, very, very well known right now for the COVID updates. But they tweeted up, today's the World Day of Remembrance for Road Traffic Victims. And listen to this. Every 24 seconds, the world loses a child, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, a friend, or a colleague. Every 24 seconds. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What?
They could have just said a person.
Well, no, multiple people. And we're trying to humanize it.
No,
Lewis,
I think they were saying
that, and they see it and they go, yes, that could be my mother. That could be my sister. If you just say a person, they say, yeah, okay. That's sad also.
Every 24 seconds, a person gets into a car accident. They didn't have to fucking make it all poetic.
Well, they're just trying to send a message home, Lewis.
A sister, a priest.
Yeah. We're trying to stop people dying. Whatever we got to do to send that message, Lewis, it's a very lawyer. Powerful message. What?
So I'm just saying, it's a little bit fluffy. Yeah, okay, fine. All right. Yes.
Sorry, I don't want people to die. Go on. No. Go on. Start. Because I was going to send a tweet today, and I didn't also do that because Bisping's gone Hollywood. Bisping's this, Bisping that. No. I just care about people, okay? I like people. I don't want people to get hurt. I don't want people to get maimed. I don't want a child to have to attend their parents' funeral. How about that, Lewis? I don't want that. You know, I don't want baby James to have to go to your funeral.
See, that's what you do. This is my problem. He does the straw man argument thing. I'm not saying that I like to see children at their parents' funeral.
You want to see children die? Is that what you just said?
You're positioning me as like, I'm the four
children.
I'm a murderer that wants to see children die and maimed in car accidents. That is psychotic. I do love Diet Coke.
Well, listen, every 24 seconds, one dies. So there you go. No, no, today I was going to tweet out, because I watched this thing last night on the news about deforestation in Papua New Guinea. I know I'm losing you already. And I was going to tweet out, we have to boycott companies that use palm oil. Palm oil is destroying the natural world. But I thought, I'm just going to get ridiculed by the Luis J. Gomez's and all you motherfuckers out there. And I thought, I won't do it. I'm not going to do it. So I didn't send the tweet. You bullied me into not sending that tweet, Luis.
Do you want to know the saddest part about that story?
What's the saddest part about that story?
Two children died in car accidents while you told it.
Yeah, and 17 orangutans have no home now. Okay? Think about the orangutans. 17 compared to one child. You know, orangutans are the closest.
How many orangutan lives?
Closest to a human in terms of their DNA structure. They're fucking humans. 17 a minute are losing their home.
How many orangutans for children? So how many orangutans you got to save?
How many orangutans are worth one kid?
Yeah, you save 100 orangutans for one kid.
I mean, all I'm thinking about right now is that scene in Pulp Fiction where he says, where he's talking, what is it? It's John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson. And he's talking about pigs. He said, well, there's going to be a pretty cute fucking pig or a pretty cute fucking dog or whatever. It's going to have to be a pretty cute orangutan to stop me killing a kid for it. But I don't know. They're close to, they're our closest cousins. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I made that up.
Cousins?
Yeah, orangutans. They share 99.999, maybe I'm making that up, percent of our DNA. Okay. I'll take one good looking orangutan over a Harrington.
Harrington looks like a mediocre orangutan.
He used to. Now he looks like some, you know, like one of those little shitty monkeys that's always in the Disney films, you know, that's stealing stuff, but it's cheeky and it's chirpy.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah, like
he looks like one of them now, but he looks like one of them with AIDS. You know what I mean?
It's 97%, just so you know.
Well, I was in the 90th percentile. I was almost close. Well done, Brian. Thanks for undermining me. I thought me and Brian had a thing. We did the show last week. We're like fucking solidarity
The Bisping, the Bisping and Brian hour?
You said you just made that up. I was like trying to be like, look how close you are.
You
didn't think that Harrington put on the Bisping and Brian hour while we were in the car just listening and jealous? I was like, oh God, Harrington, Jesus Christ. You saw the jealousy in his fucking eyes.
We took some little digs at you, but why not? Of course, you do the same thing to us.
You guys are great. Brian is more knowledgeable and a better broadcaster than both me and Harrington. He should be on the show.
All of us put together. Brian should really have his own show. What are you doing, Brian? Just quit. Chuck your hair. Get a real job.
He's got that deep fucking tone to his voice.
It takes so long to build an audience where you can make money. I'd rather just make some of yours.
Yeah, remember the first time I heard Brian speak, I said, who the fuck is that? The voice of God? Yeah. That's what you sound like. You sound like Howard Stern now. Not Howard Stern when he was younger, Howard Stern now. That's quite the compliment. Harrington, yes.
He's the voice of Gas Digital.
Oh, okay.
Every single thing. Fill her up and then you hear Brian's booming voice.
Oh, is that him? Oh, okay. All right.
I didn't know that. Oh. Look at that little Gas Digital trivia. I didn't even know that.
The filler up is Bobby.
Well,
I was gonna say, is Ralph not on there as well? Welcome to the Believe You Me podcast. That's you.
No, the Gas Digital Network. That's me.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, we live and we learn. It's good to be back in England. I'll tell you that it's good to be back home. But I'm locked in my hotel room for 5 days. That said, I'm not entirely locked in. I can go use the gym. They've cut the gym off from anybody else just for me. So I feel very, very blessed, very nice there. And it's got a swimming pool, it's got a hot tub, and I've got a gym.
Did you make it like a thing? Did you ask them to keep the gym
open
for you?
No, I didn't. I checked in last night, and then one of the producers met me, and he explained it all to me. And he downplayed the gym, and I thought it would be really shitty. And I got here last night, I checked it out. I was like, oh, shit, it's really nice, actually. As I said, there's a swimming pool, there's a hot tub and stuff. So it's like a little health club. I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm not in London. I'm out in like the sticks somewhere. If you look outside the window, it's very dark now. It's just beautiful countryside and stuff. So hopefully one day I get to have a little roam around. But anyway, enough of that.
Sorry, I'm so, well, just as it relates, is it because you're playing? I mean, we can't give any information about the movie.
No, we can. It's, have you ever seen the Never Back Down movies?
Yeah.
It's the latest Never Back Down.
Oh, that's what you're there for. I thought you were there for the boxing movie.
No. That's another one. So many projects, Lewis. So many.
Gee, I can't even keep track anymore.
Holy shit. I can't even keep up either. It's crazy.
When I call you Hollywood Bisping now, it's not even a joke. You're literally fucking Hollywood. Okay, so now this is the new Never Back Down movie. Well, is it because you're playing a mixed martial artist and you have to look good? So they're like, no, you got to be in the gym.
No. Maybe. But I haven't had a drink in a little bit. And I just went downstairs and I had a sit with one of the producers and the directors. And I had 3 glasses of wine. But they insisted. They forced me to do that. One, but I had 3 because I drink fast because I'm a real man. But that's not why. But no, it's good. I'm here. I can't really say too much about the movie, but I do play a very, very nasty piece of work that might be involved in sex trafficking. That might be involved in just, you know, kidnapping and stealing women and beating women up. It's a fantastic script, though. I'll tell you, this movie's really, really good. Really, really good. Well, I haven't seen it yet, but the script is fantastic. So it's going to be good. Keep an eye out for it. Anyway, I'll tell you what, Callum just passed his driving test. Literally right before we started the show, Rebecca sent me a little video. He had his driving test done today. Which leads me to beg the question, how long was your driving test, Lewis?
What do you mean, how long was it?
Well, because in England, it takes about an hour. I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour, and it's very hard, and you drive around, and you got to reverse park, you got to do this. You know, you got to do all the things that you might encounter doing behind the wheel of a car. You have to do emergency stops, right? As you drive on, the instructor goes, stop, and you got to stop real quick. If you skid, you know, you lose points and all the rest of it. Yeah. Callum said there was none of that, and it took about 15 minutes. He essentially had to go around the block.
Go around the block, parallel park. Do a K-turn. I think that's really it. Like 15 minutes. What they're looking for is you put your seatbelt on, check the mirrors.
No wonder somebody dies every 24 seconds. You motherfuckers can't drive.
First of all, I don't even know that we have any more car accidents in England. Please look up the facts, Brian, because I bet you it's a comparable amount.
Per capita, I guarantee US has more because we know how to drive. This is it. Because no, if I love living in America. I choose to live here. I like it here. But you guys behind the wheel infuriate me.
Just devil's advocate, maybe please. If everyone here infuriates you, have you ever thought that you might be the problem?
No, because guess what? I abide by the rules because I recognize that I'm in a massively high-powered killing machine that could cause the death of an unknowing family. A little James, a Lewis, a whoever. Right?
Maserati, I would call it a stats.
You guys, I've said this before. I don't want to say you don't use your indicators, your blinkers. You don't use them. They're there for a reason to signify to other
drivers. I've never not used my blinkers. I use my blinkers every time. You're assigning this to everybody in America.
California drivers can suck my dick because they don't.
Oh, easy, Hollywood. They're going to kick you out.
I don't give a fuck. Come see me. You use your indicators, you're in. Don't use them, you're out. Harrington, start it up, baby boy. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I'd rather Brian did it than Harrington. Team Rattlesnake over there. Oh, no, this is good. Right, Harrington, you give your start. Brian, give your start. Harrington first.
All right, I'm going to go per 100,000 cars in the United Kingdom. There is a fatality for 5.7 of every 100,000 cars. In the United States, it's 14.2 for every 100,000 cars.
It's only three times.
Three times as much. Ooh, point stand corrected. I'm correct. Louis, Brian?
Yeah, I just have the numbers from 2018, 2019. United States had 39,888 deaths, whereas the UK had 2019.
Yeah, that's not really fair, though, because obviously your population is way higher. However, though, what were those numbers again? Because you've got, so let's say there's 60 million. You've got six times more of the population. You said there was 39,000 deaths?
Versus 2,000, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like 18 times more.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fine. But you know what? Half you guys are driving horse and carriages.
No, we're driving washing machines with an engine.
Yeah. You guys have shit cars, so they can't even go fast. They go 32 miles an hour. Okay. We have beasts. We're America.
No, but that is a. Oh my God! I just got sent the worst picture ever from Rebecca of me back in my DJing days, emceeing at a nightclub.
Show to the camera.
Oh God! And I'm very large.
There he is. Oh, you're thick, bro. Thick, thick Bisping.
Thick, thick Bisping. Oh, my God. We're going to move on to the fights, though. But that is an interesting observation, though, isn't it? 18 times more roadside deaths in the US per capita than what there is in the UK. What say you, Lewis? What say you?
All right. Sometimes you guys win. Once in a blue. I'll still take 18 times a death to be in America versus living in England. No offense to our English audience. I know people are going to be like, yeah, fuck you, Lewis. You got a fucking bad, bad, bad. Listen, okay? Live in America. Come and live in New York City or Los Angeles, California, and then go live in fucking England and tell me it's better there.
All right. Go live in like some bumfuck town in the middle of nowhere and go live in a bumfuck town in the middle of England.
Same comparable. Shit. It's all the same shit, except there's probably better food still in America.
No way. No way. But anyway,
you guys are known for shit food.
Yeah, but which is bullshit, by the way, because I just had my first meal earlier, right? And I had a beautiful chicken breast on a bed of like peppered lentils with some carrots and some cauliflower. I had some chicken wings and some gravy. Oh, it was delish. And I actually thought to myself, what is this bullshit about bad food in England? We have great food.
I had a hard boiled egg, some red potatoes, and a leaf of lettuce. It was delicious.
Okay. What is your food? What is your food? Listen.
It's a melting pot. We have everything.
Yeah, exactly.
We have everything.
The great thing about America, it is a melting pot of cultures, right? And if you go to England, there's Italian. There's
a melting pot and there's some potatoes in it and it's a little bit of meat.
You throw some butter in it, you know, throw some eggs, bit of ham. What more do you fucking want? Bit of salt and pepper. Boom. There you go. No, I love living in America. Anyway. All right, let's get into this then. Fights, because we've got a lot of MMA stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
Of course, the big news last week was Paul Felder stepping up 5 days' notice, taking on Rafael Dos Anjos. With great risk comes great reward, and if he had pulled it off, he would have been a legend. However, he did not. He did not get the job done, and he lost, but he did himself proud. Paul should be proud of himself. Did you see the fight, Lewis?
Yeah, I saw. I just watched the main event, co-main event, because we were obviously traveling with Harrington. But yeah, really gutsy performance by Paul. I mean, pretty dominant performance by Dos Anjos. I think one of the judges scored it for Paul, which was bonkers. I think everyone agrees that that's a crazy call. But it looked like it was like the wrestling seemed to be a big difference in the fight. And Paul just wasn't as explosive. That was RDA's first fight back at 155.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So the thing was, obviously, Dos Anjos was training for Islam Makhachev. And let's just take a second to congratulate Dos Anjos for that. Because you got to remember, and I'm just going to spend a minute here basically rubbing the balls of Dos Anjos, giving his balls a little rub. Because you got to. Yeah. Every now and again, you got to rub Dos Anjos' balls.
I love those balls, bro.
You know what I mean? And you got to rub them. Because, listen, here's a guy, he was the lightweight champion, goes up to welterweight, and he fights a fucking murderer's role. Colby Covington, Leon Edwards, Kamaru Usman, you know, who else? Bloody, you know, Robbie Lawler. All former champions or interim champions or current champions, you know, he fought the best guys, the biggest guys as well. And all right, he won his first three and then he lost a few. But as I say, he fought the best. Then he goes back down to 155, you know, because he wants to reinvent himself. You know, he wants to go back down to 155. He realized that perhaps I'm too small. Goes down to back down to lightweight and takes on a guy that is 18-1. You know, it wasn't like, oh, give me a guy that's been at lightweight for a while, that's had a few losses, but has name recognition. You know, let's say perhaps a Donald Cerrone or someone like, all right, he's beaten Donald. But you know what I'm saying? No. Give me a Russian dude. I don't know if he's Russian or Dagestani or whatever, so my apologies. But give me a guy from that part of the world where they're known for being tough as fuck, and I'll take on a guy that's 18-1. I mean, that in itself is ballsy as fuck. Then, unfortunately, you got some kind of injury. Then they say 5 days out, oh, it's Paul Felder now. When he's been training for a wrestler to take Paul Felder on 5 days' notice like that, of course, Paul is a fucking gangster for doing that and stepping up. And we spent all the last show sucking his dick over that, so we won't do it again. But still, for Dos Anjos to do that, I mean, it just shows the level of guy, the level of fighter that you're dealing with here. The man's the real deal.
Yeah, Dos Anjos, first of all, he looked like an animal. He looked as good as he's ever looked. You actually said it, I think it was you during the broadcast, you said everyone is giving Paul Felder so much credit, which he should get a lot of credit for stepping in on 5 days' notice, but you also have to give Rafael Dos Anjos credit for still taking that fight against a killer. Paul Felder's ranked number 7 in the lightweight division. you know, that is also really, really ballsy as well. So Dos Anjos deserves a ton of credit. It's a different fighter. He could have easily said, this is, you know, crazy. I don't want to take on a guy that I wasn't preparing for. But he stepped up and, you know, he showed that he's a fuck dude. What a killer. Trains with Jason Miller, your boy.
Who?
Dos Anjos doesn't?
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm sorry.
I'm retarded.
Don't edit that bit out.
Wait, what did I say?
You trades with Jason Miller.
I meant Perillo. That's what I meant.
Oh, right. Jason Mayhem Miller. That's news.
No, that's right. I meant Perillo.
The inside scoop.
Also, he's your boy, Miller, Jason Miller, your friend.
I'm like,
no, that's what I meant. Perillo. I was like, am I crazy? He does.
Yeah. No, listen. Paul looked great, and striking wise, he looked fantastic. He looked very, very sharp. He looked very fast. Of course, the difference in the fight was because, you know, they both looked good on the feet, but the difference was the takedowns. It was the grappling. It was the clinching, and it was mixing the two.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, he mixed it up so well. It was like incredible to watch.
The ability to go from striking to shooting for a takedown to a clinch to then break it off and giving elbows and punches, then back into a takedown, then disengaging, going to an uppercut, elbow, whatever. It was seamless. You know, excuse me one second. He looked very, very good. Really, really did. The problem for Paul was, and I don't know if this was the problem for Paul, but I spoke about it a little bit on the show. Excuse me one second. I just drank a Diet Coke. Repeating a little bit. My bad. Paul was training for a triathlon, which is great. That's how Paul was able to take that fight. Because you've heard me time and time again. I always say a big thing of fighting is the cardio. Of course, you need the skills. Well, Paul's got the skills. He's worked on that his entire life. You need the cardio so you can put those skills into effect. Of course, training for a triathlon, the cardio was there. But there's a difference in energy systems, okay? Cardio for triathlons crosses over to throwing punches. It crosses over to dancing around, using your footwork, using your punches, your kicks, all the rest of it. That taxes the cardiovascular system. But then when you're trying to fight off takedowns, when you're trying to get takedowns, when you're fighting for underhooks and all that shit against the fence, now that's muscle endurance, you know, that's all over stamina, which I think a triathlon will help a little bit, but when you're talking about wrestling and things like that, you have to train that kind of endurance, and going for runs and swims will not do it.
Your body gets it's evolution. Your body adapts to whatever load you put on it, right? So if you're used to running, you're used to swimming, you're used to doing whatever, your body will adapt to that. So obviously that was a big difference. Now with a full training camp, a lot of people are saying that. They were tweeting like, look, Felder could have won that fight with a full training camp. How do you feel about that?
Well, obviously, I mean, they did fight, and it was the first time that Paul he didn't have a full training camp is what I'm trying to say. He didn't have a full training camp, but I can't say that. That's disrespectful to the effort that Dos Anjos put in, you know. Dos Anjos was the favorite, and I think even if Paul had a full training camp, he probably would be the favorite again. Well, of course, because he just beat him. So I'm not going to discredit Dos Anjos' win like that. You know what I mean? So I can't say that. But I'll tell you this. Paul gave a really good account of himself. He really did. And he even in losing there, there was a moral victory in how well he performed, how tough he was. He showed how game he is. He showed to the world that he's a real fighter. And I tell you what I loved. After the fight, when I interviewed him, he went off on a bit of a rant at people that can't make weight. He said, all you people out there that don't fucking make weight. He said, 5 days ago, I was 182 pounds. Wow. And making 155 hurt. I almost fucking died, but I did it. All you guys sitting out there and not making weight and making excuses and coming up with all this bullshit, kiss my ass. I don't know what he said. I don't have the interview right here, but something like that. And I totally fucking agreed. Because at some point, too much weight is too much to cut. But still, a lot of these people, if they really push themselves, they could probably make weight. And if they can't make weight, then that's their lookout. There's no fucking excuse. Anyway, Dos Anjos did great. He did great. And Paul did great. You know, I'd love to see him fight again.
Yeah, I feel like Paul didn't really lose much, with 5 days notice. And also, it's what Dana White, it's what the UFC fans, what everybody loves to see. Somebody step up, take a really tough fight. It's a great story, right? So in losing the fight, especially losing a decision, split decision shouldn't have been, but at least a tough fight, close fight, good fight. I don't think he lost much in terms of where he's at. He'll probably get bumped down a little bit in the rankings, but it's not going to be too much of a bump. He might have, to be honest with you, with such a gutsy performance, he might have done himself, some favors in terms of fanfare, in terms of, the way the company looks at him and is going to set him up with his next fight.
No. So what you're trying to say is he didn't lose any momentum. He lost zero momentum in terms of his fight career. And in terms of fan perception, of course, his stock just went through the roof. Number one, he was main event. When you're the main event, the amount of press that you do compared to even just co-main event, it's times 10, right? So his face was popping up on all the websites, MMA Junkie, whatever site you go to, it was all about Paul Felder. And even at the press post-fight press conference as well. So he got a lot of press, he got a lot of media, his Instagram followers, Twitter followers, all that shit went up. As you said, now the UFC look at him, they know, well, they knew already that he was that type of dependable guy. Yeah. It was a win-win situation in many ways. But still, Dos Anjos wins. Paul Felder maybe goes down one spot, no big fucking deal.
I have a question. So Harrington said this, and maybe it's just a rumor, but Harrington, maybe you could shine some light on this. Michael Chandler, was he offered the RDA fight?
Yeah. Apparently he was offered it and he turned it down. And do we think? Talked about this a little bit on the last show, so I don't want to go into
sorry,
too
I apologize.
Much. No, you're fine. You're fine. You were off fighting with cowbells and blindfolds on. You clearly had better things to do. Way more important. Okay. I get it. You're a big deal. It's curious, right? Because he went out there to fight Ireland just a few weeks ago to fight Khabib or Justin Gaethje. And now he can't step in against Dos Anjos. You know,
sort of crazy.
Devil's advocate.
Please.
No, I'm not going to say it. Brian said it. But what did you say, Brian, last week? B-Dog, you there?
B-Money?
Yeah, I'm here.
B-Dog. I don't like how fucking close. Mikey B and B-Dog.
Was it you that said it or was it somebody else?
I'm a little confused on...
Okay. All right. I'm not saying this. This is not me. This is not me saying this, but I saw this circulating. And I want to make this completely clear that for the sake of a podcast and for the sake of having a conversation, I'll repeat what I read. And it is not me saying this. I'm just saying certain people in certain circles are saying that perhaps he cycled out the steroids for Fight Island. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying that. I didn't say that.
You don't. In fact, you don't think that.
I don't think that because, he went right back on them the moment he got back. But there's certain people in certain circles that are saying certain things that they certainly sound like that.
These people are certainly probably just starting rumors.
They're certainly stupid.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that. But no, yeah. I saw that floating around on somebody.
I did see that as well. That's a little rumor that's out there. Maybe, maybe not. I just think it's kind of crazy. Like Michael Chandler, very similar to Paul Felder, kind of win-win. You go in, you beat a former champion in RDA, right? Or, you know, you if you take it on 5 days notice and you lose, you're still in a great position. You know, you just fight a really, really great fight. What are you waiting for? Main event?
Yeah, by the way, I don't think Michael Chandler was on steroids. He was cycling it out. I'm just saying that was floating around on the message boards. You know how these people get when they get together.
All right, real quick, we must thank Sheath Underwear back on the show. I love Sheath Underwear. They also, by the way, sponsor Team Rattlesnake. Underwear. They are best underwear.
It's not the Team Rattlesnake show. Okay, on with the angry. Talk about Sheath Underwear. It's not an opportunity to talk about yourself. Okay, yes, Sheath Underwear are awesome. Sheath Underwear make the most amazingly comfortable, moisture-wicking fabric technology underwear you've ever felt in your life. End of the day, their style is great. They feel good, and they look after your little penis. And yours is a little penis, Luz, but continue talking about yourself.
I wouldn't say little. I mean, can I tell you something?
It's sufficient.
It makes it look better. It makes it look better. You know, when you go into the department store, you don't have this problem, Bisping. I get it. You got a huge cock, whatever, okay? When I go to the department store and I see underwear on the wall, like Calvin Klein, it's got a big old fucking bulge in there. I'm like, God damn it, I wish my dick looked like that in underwear. And it never does, except when I wear Sheath Underwear. It's because they have a special pouch that holds your penis and balls in place, so it looks nice and fucking great, man. I've never looked good in underwear.
No, I know, but the problem is if you have a regular sized penis like myself, mine isn't massive. It's just compared to yours. It's just regular. That's all it is. People will not be blown away by the way it is held in place. They'll be like, wow, wow, I love the design of your underwear. I can just tell by looking at the underwear. I can tell by the sheen, the way the light is catching the fabric. That is some high quality underwear. In fact, hold on, let me touch. And they touch it and then they fall in love. Like, where did you get it from? I said, well, I went to sheathunderwear.com. Okay. And they have great deals because they sponsored this podcast for a long time. They're awesome people. In fact, by the way, sir, whilst you're touching my ass, this company was founded by a soldier that was serving in Afghanistan. And he had to do something to stop his balls from sweating so much. So he came up with this revolutionary idea where you give a little pouch like a kangaroo or like a joey, whatever you want to call it. So he sticks his penis in there, it keeps it dry.
You do not put your dick in a kangaroo pouch. I don't know what you were doing in Australia when you were fighting Wanderlei Silva.
I grew up in a small town, okay? There wasn't many women around, okay? And there was zero, there wasn't many women, there was even less kangaroos, but I found one and I stuck my dick in it and it felt good, okay? So don't judge me.
Bisping's belly fucking a kangaroo. What is he doing?
It's okay. He's the first and only British UFC champ. He can do whatever he fucking wants, okay? Listen, at the end of the day, the holidays are coming up, and Sheath underwear is the perfect gift for you or the man in your life whose balls sweat you are tired of. No more chafing. No more sweat, just comfort and support. Now, for some of you that may not be interested in separating your man parts, I still recommend Sheath. You can wear them like any boxer brief and they are crazy comfortable. All you got to do is go to sheathunderwear.com. It is the most comfortable underwear that you will ever wear, own, buy, whatever. And when you go to sheathunderwear.com and use the code BELIEVE20, you're going to get 20% off. That's Sheath, S-H-E-A-T-H, sheathunderwear.com. Use the code BELIEVE20, 20% off. Dry balls, comfortability, feeling good, smashing kangaroos all over the gaff. Let's get back into it. I was going to go back a couple of fights. Sean Strickland versus Brendan Allen. This was funny. I wanted to talk about this. I didn't want to talk about this. When I saw it at the time, it just really struck a chord with me. He took a fight against Sean Strickland. I think it was a couple of fights before the main event or co-main event. And he was supposed to fight, I think, a few weeks ago. If I'm getting this wrong, Harrington, let me know. Oh, yeah, he was supposed to fight Ian Heinisch a few weeks ago, but Ian Heinisch got COVID. So then they called him up and they offered him a fight on XYZ day. I forget what the date was. And he said, I can't take that. It's my daughter's birthday. And by the way, I'm not talking shit about Brendan Allen, but maybe I am, because tell me what you think about this. He said, I can't take that fight on that day because it's my daughter's first birthday. Okay, first of all, she doesn't fucking know it's a birthday when it's her first birthday. Okay, there's that. Then they came back and they said, right, we got you another date. He said, I can't fight on that day because it's my wife's birthday. Right, and now at this point, I'm rolling guys all over the place. And then they came back with another date and he said, I can't take it on that night because it's my mum's birthday. Right. And people are like, what the fuck? It's like, I mean, Lucas was born and I flew out the next day. I was going to fly out to Vegas because Rebecca was pregnant. All my team had gone out to Vegas. And I'm like, well, I can't go yet because my wife is pregnant. And I'm like, no offense, babe, but you better fucking get this show on the road. Fortunately, she gave birth in time and off I went. But it's like, kid's first birthday, wife's birthday, mum's birthday. You're turning down UFC fights for this? I love you, buddy. You're a fantastic fighter. But Lewis, what do you make of that?
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, he's probably, and you know, I don't know, but I assume he's pussy whipped because that's it. That's his, the women in his life. If they can't understand that you're going to fight for not only the money, not only the fight money right there, but it is for a better future overall. You have an incredible performance. You're setting yourself up for something bigger, right? And those birthdays get better because you go and do those things. And I think this is a similarity with comedy. It's like, you know, you're not really getting paid for the 15 minutes that you're on stage or the 45 minutes you're on stage. You're getting paid for the time on the road, the birthdays missed, the holidays missed, the fucking 8 hours in the airport, the delayed flights. That's why, and you eat shit for years and years and years and years because you're not getting paid that much in the beginning. And then eventually when you finally get paid, this way you're like, well, no, fuck it, dude. I'm getting paid what I should get paid because of all the shit that I ate for years. I'm just getting back pay right now.
Yeah, I agree. That's exactly what it is. It's for all the hard work and the sacrifices that comes with being in that position. And again, I'm not talking shit about Brendan Allen. He seems like a really, really nice guy.
I am. Get off your ass, Brendan Allen.
But I did have to scratch my head a little bit. I'm like, dude, is this what you want to do? Because not everything revolves around your schedule, certainly. And again, he got beat on Saturday night. He got knocked out by Sean Strickland, I think, in the first round. And Harrington, whilst I'm doing this, or Brian, excuse me, Just go to MMA Junkies Twitter. There's an interview with Sean Strickland afterwards. And I want to talk about Sean Strickland afterwards in just a second. See if you can find it. It's on MMA Junkies Twitter. Probably, I don't know, down 10, 15 tweets or something. Play that in a second. See what you think about it. But, you know, listen, that's what you get paid for. Listen, I wish him all the best. But Sean Strickland looked really good. He went in there and he fought. And I know you don't know who Sean Strickland is. Probably. Am I correct in saying that?
No, I know who Sean Strickland is.
Yeah, so I used to train with Sean, so I know him. You know what I mean? We've known each other. He's a very good fighter. He's good in the gym, and he's doing very well in the UFC. When I interviewed him Saturday night, he initially starts talking, and the producer says to me, tell him to take his mouthpiece out because we're struggling to understand him. So I waited for him to finish talking. I said, oh, Sean, just do us a favor. Take your mouthpiece out, please. And he takes it out. And then he starts going, oh, yeah, by the way, Mike, see what that says in that mouthpiece? 1776, motherfucker, when we kicked your ass or something like that, right? And I was like, are you serious? We're on TV right now and you're dropping that shit. Oh, my. So I just went, all right, swiftly.
USA.
I was like, listen. Not a single person in England gives a flying fuck about it. Please, what are you doing? You're embarrassing yourself right now. This is a great moment for you. You just beat a really, really tough fighter. You look sensational. You beat him in one round. And you're trying to score points over me or something on something that happened 250 years ago. It's like, come on, dude.
I agree with him. I agree with Sean Strickland. Fuck that. You. We kicked your ass. You would be bragging too if you won. Yeah, I wouldn't be. I'd be saying, who cares? You know, it's water under the bridge.
Whoa. Do you think every time I encounter a German, I bring up World War II?
You should.
I don't. Do you think every time, let's think of another one.
Give another war.
Anytime I'm bouncing around Argentina, I bring up the Falklands War. No, I don't, because it's history. It's nothing to do with the citizens, you know?
You're a bigger man than I.
I am a bigger man.
It's true.
Did you manage to find that video? So afterwards, he was talking stuff about God. Check this out. All right.
Extra, you know, enjoyment and being able to get a tough guy out of there.
Man, I'm telling you, I was going to that fight so angry. Even like little things, when he was walking into the thing and he like prayed to God. No offense, I'm agnostic, so I don't hate Christians or anything like that. But he like prayed to God and he like thanked his kids. And in my mind, I'm like, fuck you, like you're a good father. I hate you, you know. And then like, and after I look back at him, I'm like, dude, you're an asshole. Like, why were you bringing so much hate to this guy? He's a good dude. Stop it, you know. But when you're in there, you just find any reason to hate a human being. Nice. I mean, I'm telling you, Brendan, he's such a good guy. We're like. He loves his family, you know, like people are coming up to me telling me that like he can't take a fight next month because he has to be for his children's birthday, and I'm such an asshole. I'm like, you man, like screw you and your great life, like I'm gonna try to break your face open, you know, I'm gonna take that from you, I'm gonna orphan your kids. Like, but I'm telling you, like in my head, bro, like whenever they told me that, my first thought was like, dude, I'm gonna orphan your fucking kids. And no offense, dude. Or like he walks in there, right, and he's doing like the Hail Mary thing to God, and all I'm if you look at me lip saying, I'm just saying, bro, you're gonna meet the devil today. Like, oh, I'm gonna take it from you, you know. But I mean, that's why, like, I'm an asshole, and Jack, you're looking at a fellow asshole, like, yeah, like that.
Yeah, fuck it. We know you're an asshole. Shit, you know, he is an asshole. 1776. Get a fucking life, bro. Yeah, no, to be fair, I hear
you
what he's saying.
He was trying to bust balls and miss the mark.
Yeah, he was trying to bust balls. That's all it was. He was trying to bust balls and he missed the mark a little bit. You know what I mean? He's just trying to be funny. But, you know, listen, you know, if it looks like an asshole on the tin, there's a good possibility he's a fucking asshole. Because if it walks like an asshole, looks like an asshole, spars in training rooms like a fucking asshole, guaranteed he's an asshole. You know what I'm saying? We'll leave that one there. All right. Do you want to discuss one of the best knockouts you may ever see?
Yeah, I mean, am I crazy to say, why is this one of the best knockouts? It was good, but people are like freaking out. I mean, I can think of, you know, a bunch of other knockouts that are more important. Yeah. This was a good knockout. It was, I would say it was on par for any good knockout. It was better than average, but not the best.
Okay. Okay, you're right. And then in between you driving or flying back from Lake Havasu and shitting your pants as the plane's landing, and then you in Harrington landing, and Harrington spending the entire drive back from the airport saying, Lewis, it was all down to you. I couldn't have won without you and all the rest of it.
That was
and
great.
Not really doing the research and studying the fights or anything. In between all that, that fight did take place. And had you watched properly, this is what sets it apart.
Please.
Abdul Razak Hassan was asleep for about 10 minutes. I've never seen somebody unconscious for that amount of time. He was stiff as a fucking board, and he was just wasn't moving.
Were you scared?
Wasn't fucking moving for like 10 minutes.
Were you nervous for him?
I wasn't, no. I was in shock. Like everyone was, because Abdul, he's a knockout artist himself. That's what he does. He goes out there generally in the first round and knocks people out. He didn't in his previous fight against Manuel Aziz, but that's generally what he does. So I think that made it even more shocking. But it's the fact that it was the first punch that he threw, the right hand.
Yeah.
It's because he's new to the UFC, this Chaos Williams, and we'll get into that in a second. I'll ask you a question about Chaos Williams and tell me what you think. I'll ask you what you think about that. But he knocked him out. Oh, he knocked out the... I'll ask you what you think. He knocked out the knockout artist. Shocking. But he didn't fucking move. And he was stiff as a board. I'm telling you, he was like a piece of fucking wood. Not moving, unconscious for like 10 minutes.
And it was also like, I mean, it's very explosive. And then also the way he followed him back down. He went from punching him in the face and knocking him out to that strike on the ground. I mean, so fast. The referee didn't even have time to get there. That was what was like really impressive to me, how athletic that like move was. But yeah, I did not see the fact that he was out unconscious for 10 minutes. I just thought it was like, everyone was like freaking out. It's like the best knockout in UFC history. I know Dana White said some crazy shit. And I was like, I had that information before I saw the knockout.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's why. Well, first of all, if you hear it's the best knockout ever, you're expecting some Joaquin Buckley shit. You know, the one he caught the kick and then he spun like the other week.
Ngannou Alistair.
Pardon me? Yeah, exactly.
That knockout to this day, I think, is probably my favorite knockout still.
It was a good knockout. But yeah, it was just the fact that he was unconscious for so long. And to be fair, the UFC, they don't focus on that because it's not a good look. You know what I'm saying? If someone's unconscious from a punch, you know, it's not good for the sport. It's not good for the acceptance of the sport. We're not trying to put the sport back several years. You know what I mean? We're trying to progress and go forward. And it's just the sad reality. Boxing, kickboxing, Thai boxing, MMA, whatever, knockouts happen. And that was a fucking bad one. So anyway, so there's Chaos Williams. My God. His first fight in the UFC lasted 27 seconds, knocked him out cold. This time comes in, knocks out Abdul Razak Al Hassan in a co-main event, which was incredible as well. Nothing to do with MMA. But did you know what his real name is?
What Chaos Williams' real name?
Chaos Williams is not his real name. Well, it is now. He used to be called. What do you think he used to be called?
I don't know. I can't even guess.
Starts with a K. Kalen. His name used to be Kalen, but when he was a kid, he was a little shit, you know, much like myself. He was getting into fights all the time. People apparently used to bully him because he didn't have good clothing and things like that. You know, typical shit. We've heard it a million times from fighters that come from, you know, lesser background, shall we say. And he started fighting. He started fighting all the time and he started getting a name for fighting. So people started calling him Chaos. So in the end, he changed his name legally to Chaos, from Kalen to Chaos, which I mean, I wouldn't do it, but you got to respect that commitment to the game.
It's a pretty hardcore name.
It fucking is. Imagine walking in, what's your name? Chaos. All right, okay, what's your real name? No, seriously, Chaos Williams. It's like my buddy, Michael Jackson, Jacko. Every time we used to go anywhere, they'd say, what's your name? He'd say, Michael Jackson. They oh, okay, very funny. No, seriously, what's your name? So, no, seriously, Michael Jackson. And that would go around in circles for about five times. But yeah, no, change his name. I mean, if you could change James. His name.
Yes, I'm sorry, Michael. I'm down here, Bob. Thank you.
Tell James that a father dies every 24 seconds in a car crash.
James, come here.
And you're going to go driving for a long time, which increases your chances tenfold.
James, did you know that every 24 seconds, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister,
a colleague,
a candlestick maker, dies in a car accident every 24 seconds.
Viciously.
Viciously dies in a car accident.
And it's not instant either. It takes a while, but it's graphic.
It's painful. It's brutal. Poor James. He thinks the world's all puppies and if you're, rainbows.
And if the driver's Puerto Rican, that times 10.
Come on. Do you want to say hi to Michael? Want to say hi to Bisping?
What's up, James? How you doing, buddy?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Did you know your father was fighting blindfolded at the weekend?
What?
Your father was fighting at the weekend again.
Really?
Yeah, he got beat. What do you think about that?
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's not surprising.
Really beating James. It was a blindfolded match. It was silly.
He fell. No, he couldn't handle the pressure, so he jumped out of the ring into the water. Did you know that? Your dad's a jumper out of the ring.
Well, I would probably jump in the water probably 10 times if I was in that fight.
Shark-infested waters. You know,
you were saying. Blindfolded too. You couldn't see.
Now you could see down because he didn't have on the mat or blindfold. You know what I mean? It wasn't eliminating the light like our ad sponsor today. What was it called?
You're really talking smack.
I am. You want to hear some best smack? Get out of here, buddy. Good seeing you, but we got a show to do. See you, James.
Hey, go watch TV. I'll be done in a little bit, okay?
All right, yeah, so anyway, there's Chaos Williams. That was an incredible knockout, it really was. Let's talk about this. Harrington put this in the notes. It's more of a general conversation. Number seven, Star Wars. The Mandalorian fans are trying to get Gina Carano fired from the show based on her political stance. Harrington, would you care to elaborate? Because I don't know much about this. We won't get into the politics side of things or whatever, what's right or what's wrong. Let's just talk about the general overview of what is actually happening. Of course, people, if they follow MMA, good chance you listen to this podcast, you know who Gina Carano is.
Right. So Gina Carano, much like you, Michael, after her fighting career, took to acting. You know, she had a pretty big role in Fast and Furious. I think it was 6. Well, she booked a part in The Mandalorian, which is obviously like a big Disney show. And she has been very pro-Trump, you know, with all the election stuff, talking a ton about, you know, coronavirus hoaxes and mask wearing. Like, she's just, you know, she's been very outspoken on Twitter. And obviously that fan base, you know, who subscribe to Disney Plus are very vocal on social media. So they've been saying, you know, we want her out of here. They like the property, but they don't like the actress.
Well, that I think is absolute bullshit, to be honest. You know, regardless of her political beliefs, whether she's a Trump supporter, Biden supporter, thinks it's a hoax, thinks everyone's entitled to their own bloody beliefs. I mean, I get on Twitter and I talk a lot of shit. What if those same people, what if it was the opposite side? Right, that's it. We want Bisping cancelled. He thinks everybody should wear a mask. You know what I mean? It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, the problem is we used to appreciate differences in opinions and you know, respect those opinions and go like, all right, well, I could learn from that person. They have a little bit of a different perspective. That's fine. The problem now is it's almost like anybody who supports Trump or on the right, they're automatically pegged as supporting a xenophobe or a racist. And the reality is that's just not true. There are certain people that like, they have different values and were raised differently than you. If you're in a big city, you're probably, you know, left wing. If you're in a small town in America, you're probably right wing. It doesn't mean you're a good or a bad person either way. You have to, what makes you a bad person is not accepting other people's ideas and trying to, I mean, getting somebody, I watch this happen a lot. Like they'll be like, yeah, this person supports Trump, get them fired from their job. And they'll post, I tweeted something about this actually.
Where I saw it. No, you tried to get somebody fired from the job today.
No, I was kidding, though. There was a joke about
that. I
know
you were kidding. Oh, okay. I'm like, hold on a minute. Didn't you do that specifically today?
No, I was fucking with one of the fans. Not my fans. A fan. I'm sure they're a fan of something.
You mean a supporter
of something. So, yeah, I think that's a really shitty thing. The other thing is, what is the whole point of trying to get somebody fired from their job? So you want them to become an unproductive member of society? You want this person to lose their ability to make money? Now they have their kids are less likely to be productive members of society. It's actually bad for society.
Well, it's the climate. The current climate right now is so volatile. You know, it's very explosive all over the world. People are pissed off. People are angry. People are upset. And they're looking, I mean, this is partly because, you know, partly to blame. They're looking for something to blame. They're looking for something to take it out. And they're looking for something to blame the unrest on. Certainly, you know, a lot of people in the Biden camp are saying Trump's a racist. A lot of people in that camp are saying that Biden's a socialist, you know, like Sean Strickland again. There you go. When I interviewed him for his last fight against Jack Marshman before the fight, the first thing he said, oh, there you are, Bisping, you liberal bastard, you know, that was how he said hi to me, you know. But the fact that you're trying to go out there and try and get somebody fired for what, not having the same political belief,
crazy.
I mean, come on, what the fuck? I mean, in the Western world, I hate to break this to you, it's not only in America, but freedom of speech is a thing. It's everywhere. It's not just in America, it's all over the world, and unless you're living in communist China or North Korea or perhaps Venezuela.
You want freedom of speech. You want freedom of expression. You want freedom of thought. You want people to be able to think freely and to you know, when you have that, you have people not afraid to share their ideas. You're going to have you're going to have better ideas because you're going to come to compromise. You're going to
when you brainstorm, if you all sit down and brainstorm, you come up with better ideas because you just throw things out there. Come on, sorry, I didn't mean
no,
to.
No, but it's exactly what I'm saying. So I'm so sick of the political thing. It's just like the election's been fucking over and we're still dealing with it. And there's people protesting and fighting all over the world. I just, you know, I got to be honest with you. I look at things as a parent and I look at things from that perspective. It's like, I just want my fucking kid to go to school and have a good time and have friends and like, you know, I don't know, man, that was sort of the American dream for a long time. And this is coming from the perspective of a brown person. It's like, I just don't know where we're getting off track, where it seems to be becoming this whole other thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, freedom of speech is important. And you know, we should all have freedom of speech. But also, you should be held accountable, though, at times. You know, you can have freedom of speech, but if you're running around there, you're coming out with racial slurs, you're dropping the F-bomb when you're talking about homosexual people all the time. You know what I mean? You should be held accountable. But she shouldn't be held accountable. She's not saying anything wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's not attacking anybody. She's saying what her beliefs are. Right now, of course, yeah, if your beliefs are very, very extreme, you know, and they're insulting to certain sectors of society, then you should keep that to yourself if you're smart. But just because she doesn't believe in the coronavirus, or she doesn't believe, or she thinks everything's an overreaction, which I think she's dumb for saying, right? Because that's her belief. I don't think she should be cancelled, fired, or come under any kind of scrutiny, to be honest. We're all entitled to our own beliefs. But if you're going to go out there and you start getting racist and saying shit, then yeah. You should be held accountable for that, for sure.
Yeah, to a certain degree, I think so. I mean, I think that the problem is, where's the line? So a lot of people will say things that I say on podcasts are racist. Now, they're jokes, but where's the line? So now some guy says, well, you can't make that joke. Some other person goes, well, you can. Who decides? You know, so my problem with the whole idea of like, oh, well, that person's racist. Literally, there are people that are saying anybody who voted for Trump is racist. I don't believe that. I know plenty of people that voted for Trump that are not racist, that are good people. They just they really don't believe it. They were sort of voting against the left. I think that was the idea. I don't think that they're bad people. I really don't. I think that they're just, you know, I didn't vote. I wouldn't vote. But you can't just automatically assign that term to anybody out there. And I think once you do that, it sort of becomes this dangerous thing. And that's sort of what the media has been portraying. And that's where I think Gina Carano gets caught, because it's not, most people go, oh yeah, she voted for Trump, who cares? But there's this really small percentage of people that are online that go, if she voted for Trump, she's a racist, she's a xenophobe, she should not be out there and being exposed to people on Disney. Like, that's sort of the mentality there. And they really believe that deep down inside. So they're almost agreeing with you. They're almost saying, like, oh yeah, but she's actually racist because she's supporting Trump.
Yeah, maybe. But it's just kind of messed up, because unfortunately, even though the election is taken care of, it's not taken care of, and there's going to be some trouble. I'm telling you, I'm calling it right now. There's going to be a mini civil war in America. Those fucking Proud Boys are out there. They're armed to the fucking teeth. They got rifles around the fucking necks. They got sidearms. They got guns on their fucking around the ankles. They've probably got grenades in their inside pocket. They're angry as fucking. They're looking to use them. So I'm telling you, just fucking get ready. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. It's coming. I'm telling you.
And the problem is, all of those Antifa kids are like fucking little vegan.
They're firing fucking carrot sticks out of catapults going up against fucking, you know, a fucking AK-47. You're gonna lose.
They got slingshots.
Slingshot is fucking carrot sticks. Okay.
Hey, Mike, really quick, we must thank CBDMD, longtime supporter of this show, one of the most incredible makers of CBD products on the planet. I'm going to tell you right now, really, really high quality, organic, non-GMO, vegan hemp that is grown right here in the U.S. of A. U.S. of A, not in England. Sorry. It has no THC. It does not get you high. That is not what CBD is for. CBD gets your body back in homeostasis. It makes your body perform at its highest level. So it helps with everything from inflammation, physical pain, if you have trouble sleeping. There's so many different benefits for CBD. I say go onto Google right now and just do a Google search and see if CBD can help with some of your afflictions. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it really can. I take it for anxiety every single day.
You need to take more because you're still very anxious, I think, Lewis. And I'm not surprised you're hanging around with Harrington. He's getting beat up of old men. But for me, listen, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I had a knee replacement recently. Guess what? 6 months is what you need. You need 6 months before you are classed as what they call healed. Well, where am I right now? I'm in fucking England, right? Might be grown in the USA, but I'm in the UK filming an action movie. How is that? Because I've been rubbing on the Revive and the Recover every single day. I have the Freeze with me. In fact, check this out. I don't believe this is a massive bag of CBDMD products. This is all CBDMD, right? Because I don't leave home without it. Because
he broke a few international laws. I don't think he's allowed to travel into England with it, but we're not going to say anything.
It doesn't matter. Come after me, bitches. Come and get me. I'll tell you where I'm staying. I don't give a fuck. In fact, it's not illegal in the UK. So there you go. You're wrong, Lewis. No, but seriously, I love the stuff. Honestly, this sounds weird, but I can't imagine my life without it these days. I'm actually becoming quite dependent on it. Not that it's addictive. It is not crack cocaine. It's not addictive in the slightest. It just makes your life better. It gets you back into homeostasis. Google that if you want to know the ins and outs, the scientific dropbacks, or maybe just ask Harrington because he's a smart guy. But seriously, my dad loves it. My parents love it. My in-laws love it. I love it. Everybody loves it, whether you've got insomnia, anxiety, pain, inflammation, whatever. If you've got a problem, CBDMD will solve it. Check it out. Lewis, tell them about the offer.
Did you just do Ice Ice Baby lyrics?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
If you got a problem, CBD will solve it.
If you've got a problem, he will solve it. That's the Equalizer, which is a British TV show, or American, but still, you probably don't know it because you're so young and fruitful. But if you've got a problem, CBD will solve it. Check out the Revive and my neck will revolve it.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? Go to CBDMD.com and use the code WHAT.
The promo code is BYM20, which is great this holiday season. Anybody who's going to need CBD in their life, this is a great gift for them. BYM20 saves you 20% off your entire order. Go save some cash right now at CBDMD.com. BYM20. Okay. If you guys love the show, go support us directly by subscribing to our iTunes. Leave us a 5-star rating, a positive review. You can also subscribe on Google Play, Stitcher, or really any other platform that you guys download podcasts on. You can also get the entire on-demand library, every episode we've ever done of the show since the beginning, all uncensored and ad-free. The whole library is available at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 14-day free trial. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Get all the latest video episodes right on our YouTube channel. So tell some friends about the show. That's probably the best way that our show grows, is by you guys sharing it with your friends. And we do appreciate the support. So believe me when we say it. We know that you guys show us a lot of love, and we show you a lot of love back for it. If you want to join the conversation, please shoot us an email, bympod@gmail.com. Okay.
So I'm just looking at these notes here, but Harrington compiled. And I'm going to let you explain this one, Harrington. Number 5, surrounding a certain Conor McGregor. Go on. This is you. You emailed this. This is your words. I never saw this. Explain.
Right. So, after the fight, you had the conversation with Rafael Dos Anjos. You asked him what was next for him. Rafael made the point that he is the only one, him and Conor McGregor, sorry, are the only two men currently at lightweight who are former champions, who weren't, interim champions, who had the undisputed belt. And he would like, that fight. I don't know if you remember, it was supposed to be at UFC 196. RDA was forced to pull out, which led to Nate Diaz coming in. And then, one of the bigger upsets in MMA history. Well, RDA said he wants that back. You know, he says he wants that fight back, and he thinks that should be the fight, you know, for the lightweight title. McGregor responded on Instagram. He said, "Dustin's first, but I'm down for it all. Throwback to this classic LOL. Look at Dana. Haha, vintage MMA entertainment. El Chap." And that's, I don't know if you remember, he had that El Chapo moniker for the summer of 2016. You know.
Yeah. My bad. Hold on. Didn't you? Wasn't the one in here where he's talking shit about Tyron Woodley? Oh, it's number two. You're right. That did happen. And he did call out Conor McGregor. He did call out Conor McGregor. And Conor may do that. And I think it's a viable matchup down the line. Although he's fighting Dustin Poirier, then I believe McGregor is going to fight Manny Pacquiao in a big money boxing fight. So the likelihood of that happening is not strong. Sorry. My apologies, though. What I meant to say and tee you up on was point two. This is the one. So yeah, because I never saw any of this. So please explain it again.
Okay. Well, yeah, McGregor was very, very busy on Twitter this weekend. Another person who he mentioned was Tyron Woodley. He said he was currently watching Woodley Wonderboy 1 on BT Sport. He said, "I should have gone for that treble real quick. Pre-Floyd, the game is still young." That was in reference to, you know, at the time, there was some speculation that he was considering going up to 170, chasing that belt, you know, for against Tyron Woodley. Instead, you know, his next fight was the Mayweather fight. And, you know, Woodley has since lost the title. But Conor does think that back in 2016, if his next fight had been against Tyron Woodley, he would be the first ever UFC triple champ. Tyron Woodley disagrees. He tweeted out, "Shoulda, woulda, coulda, wouldn't have, hashtag all cap."
That's actually one of his songs.
"Falling in and out of love, in and out of love with you.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda, but I couldn't really do."
Oh, shit. Bisman, you can fucking flow, son.
"I can fucking flow, but I don't really know. I'm listening to Harrington and I don't know where to go."
Somebody's going to produce that into an actual song now.
"I don't want to talk shit about McGregor. He's got a good right hand. It's like leather." No, listen, it's all well and good calling out Tyron when he's lost three in a row, though. Three in a row, though. Oh, my God.
Three in a row, though. You got to know.
No, but listen, you know. I'm not trying to rap. He calls out Woodley when he's lost three in a row. Didn't call him out when he was the fucking champ and he seemed to be knocking people out. Ain't talking shit, saying stats, saying facts. Oh my God, I'm rhyming like that.
I agree with you, Mike. Yeah, I mean, look, also not for nothing, now in retrospect, I would have always said that was crazy. I remember at the time being like, yeah, Conor doesn't want none of Woodley. That's a crazy fight for Conor when Woodley was where he was at, when he was on top. But now in retrospect, I go, you know, Conor might have been able to win that fight.
He probably would have won that fight. Look at the Tyron Woodley now. This Conor's going to fight. I'll say that. You know what I mean? No disrespect to Woodley, but he hasn't been fighting lately. And the Woodley now, I'd favor Conor all day long at 170. I would.
Right.
Fuck me.
And I wouldn't have said that before. Back in the day when we talked about that, I don't think either one of us would have said that.
I think I'd favor Harrington right now. See those combos? You know what I mean? At least Harrington's going to throw down.
Harrington's going to bring the fight to Woodley every single time.
Say again?
Harrington's going to bring the fight to Woodley every single time.
All right. Who do you think, seriously, on the UFC roster that Harrington could beat?
Oh, come on. Nobody. Harrington. I don't. No.
I don't know. No, but listen. I get McGregor. You know, McGregor's just trying to puff his chest a little bit there. But, you know, leave Tyron Woodley alone. He's lost three fights. He was the champ. He's going through a bad time in his life. You know what I mean? That's the way it is. Jason Perillo's dad was a motivational speaker. And I'm going to butcher this. And I might have said this before, so my apologies. But still, we got a lot of new listeners. Maybe they haven't heard it. His dad has a quote that he said, and Jason has it on his phone. And it says, "Everything in life goes in cycles. You won't always be at the top and you won't always be at the bottom. The beauty of this knowledge is that when you are at the top, you will remain humble because you know it won't last forever. And then when you're at the bottom, you can remain optimistic because your time will come again." You know, and that's just the way it fucking is. Look at Tyron Woodley. He was the king of the world for a little bit. He was going on Joe Rogan saying, "I'm the greatest of all time." And now he's lost three in a row. You know, it doesn't mean his life's over. It doesn't mean fucking, you know, that his life's going out the window and everything's going to go wrong. You know, he had his time on top. And just like McGregor. McGregor had his time on top. He's still a great fighter, still a fantastic fighter, but his time as being a two-world weight division champion has gone. My time of being a champion has gone. Yeah, you know, you got to remember that. You know, it doesn't last forever. It's a very, very small moment in time. And regardless of what that is, in any walk of life, you know, I mean, in being a comedian, I mean, look at Louis C.K. Right, that was his own problem. That was his own downfall. But you know what I mean? You're not always going to stay at the top. You get there, you fight, you claw, you scratch your way to the fucking top. But eventually it goes.
Yeah, I mean, that is the truth. And the reality is, anytime I'm down, I always remind myself of a very similar thing. I always just remember, I was like, you know what? I know for a fact in a week, a month, a year, I'll look back and I won't even be thinking about this. And it'll always get better. Like that's a like kind of a hack saying for like, you know, kids who are bullied, but like that is absolutely the truth. Conor could be champion again though. If Khabib doesn't come back, if he truly stays retired, Conor McGregor could be champion at 155 again.
But that's not the conversation we're having. We're trying to get into a motivational fucking talk. We're not trying to suck Conor's balls, okay? No, I want to talk about the people at the bottom. Do you know what I mean? Because even though you're at the bottom, you know you can make it back again. You can claw, scratch, sniff, whatever it is to get back at the top. You know what I'm saying? If you got there once, you can do it again. There's a lot of people out there right now. Life is bad. Life is hard. Financial struggles are real. You know what I mean? But guess what? The vaccine's coming, baby boy, and no one's going to take it. So you're all fucked. So what I'm saying is wrong, and you're all going to remain broke. No, listen, you know, everyone goes through ups and downs, struggles, peaks and valleys, troughs and things, you know?
Troughs and what?
Well, peaks and valleys, yeah. Peaks and valleys, ups and downs, high points, low points,
ins and outs, blacks
ins
and whites,
and outs.
The
yin with
the yangs,
the yin with the yang, the ming with the mang,
the troughs and the bows,
troughs and the bows. That's where I was going with that one. All right, how long have we been going for here?
Well, like an hour 15, something like that, right?
All right. What should we do? What should we discuss?
You got a couple questions? I got a few minutes left here. I do apologize. We have to head back into the city with my son. Have a little dinner with him.
Well, let's do it then. Remember, you can send your questions into bympod@gmail.com. And we do appreciate all the content that you guys send us. So please continue sending it in. Brian, what have you got for us this week?
All right, we got an email question from Michael Stank.
Right, listen, Michael Stank, first of all, right? Hold on, watch this. I'm gonna record a video right now for bympod@gmail.com. Hi. My name is Michael Stank. I've got a video for Michael and Lewis. That's how hard it is. Michael Stank, Michael Skank, I'm going to call you now, okay?
I like it.
Never heard that one before, I'm sure.
Michael of Skank.
What's Michael Skank got for us this week?
All right, well, he says, hey, guys, great show. Thanks for the commitment to getting these episodes out every week. This is a question from Mike.
I just edited that bit out what I said. He sounds like a lovely guy.
I enjoy seeing people bury the hatchet, especially after hard-fought UFC battles. I really appreciate seeing fighters respect each other. That being said, Mike, what are the chances you can bury the hatchet with Tim Kennedy? What would it take? And how about a special guest appearance on the BYM podcast from Tim?
Well, funnily enough, we, Lewis and I, interviewed Tim Kennedy on our radio show back in the day, didn't we, Lewis?
Yeah, we did. And he was cool. You guys were cool.
He was great. And I actually, after he got off, I said, you know what? Maybe I was wrong about Tim. So there you go. I buried the hatchet. Okay. But he continued to be a cock. Because guess what? If it looks like a cock, if it walks like a cock, if it's as short as a cock, if it looks like it takes steroids like an insecure little cock, and if he just raps on about fucking bullshit, right, then he's probably a cock. And guess what, Tim Kennedy? You're a fucking cock. So you can take that hatchet, Michael Skankface, and stick it up your fucking ass, okay? That's what I say to burying the hatchet.
I think Tim Kennedy's a hero. He hunted Hitler. American hero. So
I've got nothing against
him. Gina Carano, just really respecting this country.
Yeah. Well, guess what? 250,000 people a day are fucking getting coronavirus in your fucking country. So, you know, get your shit together, bro.
No,
that's what I'm
saying. 250,000 people to date have died.
Yeah. And every 24 seconds, others are dying in the cars. Okay.
I know, which is actually a higher death rate than coronavirus right now.
I know, when you put it
so
like
maybe
that.
Maybe we should all take the cars off the road now, right?
Oh, are you going to run to work?
Well, I don't know. Well, we're not running to work because we're taking work off the table for everybody, right? So why aren't we taking the cars off the table? Anyway, don't get me going.
Yeah, exactly. No, listen, you know, I've got nothing particularly against Tim Kennedy. Fact is, is what we say in England, is a wanker. He's a cock. He's a little arsehole. He's short, though, so it's not his fault. He's very, very short. He's probably wider than what he is high.
How tall
and just
is he?
A little point out there for very short people. The more muscular you get, the shorter you look. Okay? So bear that in mind, Tim, the next time you're doing your tries and buys.
All right. Next question.
Swiftly moving on.
All right. So we got a question here from Michael Foreman. He says, this question is for all of you. If God got all past and current UFC fighters and made them all young again and in their prime for one night only, and you were given the opportunity to create a fight card, who would you have fighting and what would be the main event?
Oh, my God.
It's a lot to think about.
It's a lot. You want us to make up a fantasy MMA card right off the top of our dome as a rock the microphone, you know, at the end of the show. When
and all four of us?
No.
All four of us. Let's start with Harrington, because you know he's going to take that well serious. Okay. Well, you know that actually my a fight that I was always intrigued about was one that never happened. And he'll come out with the most random, obscure. In fact, Harrington, give us your pick. What would be the number one of all time UFC people? What would you go for?
It has to be UFC. I was thinking like Teddy
Fedor Emelianenko. You were going to say Fedor versus Randy, right?
No, I mean Fedor versus Brock.
Waste.
Come on, man. That fight would have been so dope back in the day.
Oh, my God. Is that the best you can come up with? Brian McKay, BM. I won't say your email address. Go ahead. No, BM McKay is right. That's your Instagram. BM McKay is right. What have you got?
I got, I don't know. I'd probably see like Dan Severn fight Stipe. I'd like to see that fight.
It's a random one that I'd like to see that fight. Like you've sat there many times at night high going, yeah, man. Always wanted to see Dan Severn versus Stipe. That's the one that got away, bro. No. Yeah. Nobody's ever thought that or had that conversation.
He said, of all time, everybody, anytime. I'm just saying, Dan Severn's a monster.
He is. Lewis.
I mean, you gotta
totally
throw Nick,
redeem yourself.
You gotta throw Nick Diaz in there because he's never in a bad fight.
Why?
I was actually gonna fucking put you on the other end of that. The Michael Bisping retirement fight versus Nick Diaz, the fight that should have happened. It almost happened.
It almost did happen. Me and Nick actually hung out in a nightclub in New York with Leonardo DiCaprio right behind us all night long. Wanted to say hi so bad because it's fucking Leo, but I didn't. You know what I mean? Because you can't bother them. You can't be that guy. But I'm like, there's Leonardo DiCaprio. And I'm sure he was like, there's Michael Bisping. And he felt the same way, but he didn't want to say anything. But Nick Diaz was there and we talked about it. I said, I will fight, but he wanted to fight at 170. I said, I can't fight at 170. Have you seen the size of these biceps? It's incredible.
Did he fight Anderson at 185 or 180?
He did. I'm like, what's up, bitch? 185 and all over the place.
Was it 180 though or 185?
I think it was 185. All right, so I guess I gotta give my pick. So what was the question? Past or present, future?
Fantasy fight that could happen, everyone in their prime. It's just weird to pick an old guy like Dan Severn versus Steve.
Yeah,
it would kill
weird.
Him. It doesn't
he's
matter
like
his fucking
so
prime.
Not current. I mean, yeah. You know. It's Mark Coleman versus Anderson Silva. No. GSP versus Anderson Silva was one that I wanted to see.
That's a fight that should have happened.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I reckon we've come to the end of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll still be in London on Thursday. We'll be back. Maybe let's get a guest. I'll get a guest on. Maybe we'll get Darren Taylor or somebody. In fact, send us a thing on Twitter. Let us know who you would like us to get on as a guest and we'll arrange it. Go ahead, Lewis.
Well, maybe this was one of the questions that was asked on the last show because that's where we got it from. Oh, that's right. It was. And I thought it was actually really interesting. So they asked you who would replace each of us on the show. And then me and Harrington started talking about, like, if you were ever out and couldn't do a show, because when I sit out, like Harrington or Brian will replace me, who would replace you? And we could only think of two people that could possibly replace you as like a guest co-host on this show.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leo, obviously.
No, Darren Till.
Darren Till could, if you were out, Darren Till could sit in with me and we could do a fun show. He could sit in your place. Or
Daniel Cormier.
I actually said Daniel Cormier as a third, but that wasn't, he could be great. I think Chael. Chael could come in
Chael
and do
would be good as well.
He could lead Believe You Me or Darren Till. I think those are probably the only two that could genuinely be entertaining enough to fill your shoes for this show for our audience?
I kind of want to arrange that just to see and cross-reference the two. You know what I mean? Fun. I want to get JL in just to do it. You know, that'll be hilarious. And Darren. In fact, we'll try and get Darren on for Thursday's show because he's always a good laugh. And,
that'd be great.
Yeah. We'll arrange a few guests. Brian Harrington, Lewis. Harrington, congrats on the weekend. Lewis, congrats for falling into the lake. Look after yourself, everybody. And we'll be back on Thursday.